short message today. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Bless these thoughts to our hearts as we conclude this semester on the discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, you're right, chapter 1. Yeah. So in leading up to this, Paul says in verse 18 that God is true and our word towards you, because God is true, our word towards you is yea and not nay. Our word towards you is yes. And then in verse 20, it says, and all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God in him, I should say, in him, in Christ. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. And the word amen means truth. Truth, or so be it. That's what the word amen means, so be it. So all God's promises are yes. They are never no. They're always for us. They're never against us. And they're always considering us, and they're never not considering us. And then with that, because God's word is true and all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, then because of that, Paul says in verse 21 that I can be established in you. So that the promises establish us together in the body of Christ. So he says, I'm established with you. And then he says, I am anointed because of that. The anointing comes because of God's promises are true. And then the third thing he says, and then also that I am also sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that sealing where the Holy Spirit is sealed within our hearts, this is the proof that we are secure in him. That's also in Ephesians 1:13 and in Ephesians 4:20 or maybe 30. Ephesians chapter 4. So sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's very important. That happens at the day of salvation. It's not a separate event. It never talks. There's a lot of churches that say, okay, you're saved. Now you need to be baptized. No, but that salvation happens the day you accept him, and that sealing takes place. You have been bought. You are his. Then he goes on to say in verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. So, what was taking place here, and a lot of the scholars believe, is because of the situations that took place in 1 Corinthians and how Paul dealt with this church. Pretty rough, pretty harsh, pretty direct. And because of that, people were hurt and people were wounded. And, you know, Christians get wounded. Christians get hurt. And it's probably one of the greatest things that you can pray for as discernment that God gives us, that we learn to discern those who are hurt in the church. Because people are always going to get offended. They're always going to get hurt. They're always going to be wounded. And there needs somebody to encourage. Somebody needs to direct that, because Satan will take that person and make that mind just go every which way, you know, because of that. And so this is where it's going to start talking up, where he picks up in chapter 2. So 2 Corinthians 2, it says, I determined this with myself, that I would not come to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is it then that makes me glad? But the same which made me made sorry by me. And then he says this, and this is where the joy comes in. It says, And this is good to know because it's Christmas, and God gives us this amazing Christmas joy. But this is something we should constantly have. He says, "For I write you the same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all." So this is like he's saying, I want to be helpers of joy. And when people are wounded, we look for people who are helpers that can bring joy. It says, my confidence brings joy. And when confidence brings joy, and you know, the believer should have confidence. We don't have confidence in our flesh, but we can have confidence in Christ, especially in relationships. So we are to be confident as believers. We, as a disciple, we should be very committed. We should be dependable. We should be reliable. We should be somebody that people can count on, you know, to go to and to know that I'm not going to blab it around. I'm going to keep it confidential. I mean, these are strong characteristics that the enemy will try to deal with. But it says, you know, my joy is the joy of you all. You know, Christ gives us this spirit of joy within us, and as that gift, I want to see that joy in you. You know, we want to see joy in people. People are wounded. We don't want to, you know, when you're wounded, you don't have a lot of joy. You know, matter of fact, you find fault in many things. There is no joy. Instead, it's finding fault. But confidence brings joy, and then joy brings love, and that love is the unity within the body of Christ. I just love that intro. Paul is saying, listen, I don't think I should come now. There are too many people that are hurt, but can you bring joy to them until I come? And I promise when I come again, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to tone it down a little bit. You know, I'm not going to come with this heaviness with you because, you know, and I do this for your benefit because you bring me such great joy. And, you know, when you see people that are supposed to be walking with Christ and they're struggling in their life, whether it be with sin or whatever, shortcomings or failures or condemnation or guilt, you don't want to see people go through that. You want them to have joy, and this word can bring this amazing joy. Another thing I want to cover, and then that will be it. I thought more would be here today because there is a test. Maybe that's why they didn't come, but there were some other things that we wanted to cover. But anyway, we taught a little bit, and I didn't cover it a lot, and I just want to take 5 minutes and hit it. That as a disciple, we must learn that Christ is the center of our life. And what does that do, and what does that bring, and what does that cause, and what are the effects in our lives? Our lives as a Christian become so stronger when Christ is truly the center. If Christ is the center, then the believer will move. And it's really not the believer moving, it's Christ drawing him. It's probably a better word. But we are drawn from carnality into spirituality. We leave the fleshly things of this world, and we learn that they profit nothing, and that my security is in Christ, and Christ draws me to him. And if I'm in the presence of God, That's walking in the Spirit. It's God's presence, you know, knowing that he's there and he's in reach. So a believer moves from carnality to spirituality. When Christ is the center, I learn things are not about sacrifice; they're more about obedience, and that's a good one because we try to please God with sacrifices. Oh, let me do this for you. Let me do that for you. Let me, and instead of out of faith, obedience in Romans 1:5. So it's obedience. I delight in obedience. I do not delight in sacrifices and burnt offerings. And then a third one is when Christ is at the center. We know it's when he has this authority over my life, you know, and it's not where he has authority, but it's more to the effect where it's God reasoning. I'd rather use that than authority. And he does have authority, but God reasoning's better. I learn to reason with God. Isaiah 1:18. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are many, I will make them white as snow. And God is saying, I know your condition, but I want to reason with you. And that reasoning is now I start to change the way I think, and now I'm thinking with God's thoughts and with God's mind. You know, his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. How do we know that if we don't know, you know, how to reason with him? And then when Christ is the center, different things become a focus. I am more focused in other areas than I was if I wasn't, you know, if Christ wasn't the center of my life. When Christ is not the center of my life, I am focused on myself. It's all about the self. What I can do, what I can get out of it, what I can accomplish, what about me, you know, and all this self-life. But when God is the center, then the issue now becomes souls. I'm interested in souls all of a sudden, you know, where I never was before. You know, because why? Because that's God's heart, you know, to seek and save that which was lost. When Christ is the center, I have a hunger for the Word of God. The Word of God, I start to hunger after the book. I want to spend time with God. I want a fellowship with God. I want him to speak to me through this book. And I start to hunger and thirst after the things of God. When Christ is at the center, I hunger for body life. I'm interested in church. I'm interested in being with God's people. I'm interested in being around the body because that's where the Holy Spirit, that's where the presence is. And I hunger again. I hunger for souls. When Christ is at the center, I learn that he increases and I decrease. You know, and you know, it's more than just saying that. It actually starts to take place in your life when Christ is, or when God is so real at the center of my life. Because now I know my counsel will be direct, will be from God. I know my decisions will be led. I know I'll walk more in the Spirit. I'll know I'll have a capacity to love, you know, more than what God gives me, you know, or more than what I have. You know, love comes more natural. The things of God become more natural. I'm thinking on things above. I'm not thinking about how to please myself anymore. I'm worried about following him and going after him and learning from him and taking his yoke upon. I don't want to take that yoke upon my own yoke and my own burdens. It's too heavy. And why would I want to do that? Why would I want to deal with that? So Christ becomes the center, and I make him that focal point. And then my mind is on the mind of Christ. I start thinking of things above. Things start to change. I don't hang out with other people at work and sit around and tell jokes like I used to. Those things don't, you know, they don't satisfy me no more. The world doesn't satisfy me no more. I'm getting more God conscious and less self conscious. I'm thinking about him. My prayer life starts to develop more. It starts to grow. My list is growing. Last week I prayed for two people. This week there's already five on the list. You know, it's growing. And next thing I know, I'm starting to pray for countries. I'm praying for other pastors in other places. My prayer life starts to develop. It's not what I want to pray for. It's where we're like a disciple. Jesus, teach me to pray. He starts to teach me. He starts to show me different things. He puts different things upon my heart, what I need to pray for or what I should pray for. My Bible study, my morning devotion gets maybe a little bit longer. My study time starts to get a little longer. I want to stay out soul winning a little bit longer, you know. So all these things start to take place when Christ is the center, and there's many more. I mean, there's list of them that, you know, we can go over, as believers. And, you know, you think about it and you look about it and you think about, like, Jonah's life, where he didn't want to do God's will. He wanted nothing to do with him. And he ended up finally doing God's will. And then he ran away again. And he was in a boat, and the people in the boat said, "There's somebody here. It doesn't, you know, the gods are preventing us from getting to the other side." And they ended up throwing him overboard. And, you know, he started to go down a little bit into the water, and this giant fish even took him deeper down. And you think about that everything was, you know, God, like, made happen. You know, even though he rejected and didn't want it, he says, "I don't want those people saved." He goes, "I know your heart and you're going to save them." You know, he goes, "But I'm going to use you to do it. I don't want them saved." You know, God, he didn't like them. He didn't like them at all. And it's funny when he amends with God, and the fish, it said the fish, like, threw him up on land. You know, I would have kicked him way on the ocean. Okay, swim back for your penance. But no, that's God's even grace more. I'm not even going to have you swim. I'm going to put you right on land, put him right back out there. And then the story just goes, you know, "See, God, I told you you would save him because you're a merciful and just God." And then his life turns to even where he felt all depressed because God gave him rest and put him under a little plant. And then a worm came and ate the plant. And he was all disturbed about that worm eating his plant. More than people. More caring about that. You know, and feeling sorry for that little plant that this worm ate. And you know, I mean, and what is life on that? You know, you look at that, and God was gracious to him the entire time and through that whole process. But we want Christ as the center. We don't want to even move a little bit outside of it. Moving outside of the center is dangerous. It's very dangerous. You're opening yourself up to the world and to the flesh and to the devil. You're, as Christ is the center, there's this covering that's over us. And he loves us with his everlasting arms, and he keeps us secure. And we want to stay so close to that. We don't want to drift away. We don't want to drift off. And sometimes we do, because we're human. This is, again, why we continue to keep this as a focal point. You know, as we wake up, you know, Christ is the center of my life today. And I start thinking about these things. And more and more, my mind and my capacity opens up, wisdom. The Word of God starts to speak to us more clear. The Holy Spirit is now communing and communicating with me and showing me things that I've never seen or never knew. Things that were a mystery start to be revealed and opened up. God's Word starts to become alive. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in the Spirit. I've put off the old man. I've put on the new man. I'm walking in the newness of life. I'm walking in liberty in Galatians 5:1. I am set free by the word of God in John 8:32. Things have set me free. I'm not in bondage. I'm not under condemnation. I'm not under guilt. This is the disciple that has Christ at the center of their life. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the joy, Lord, that you've given us. Helpers of joy. We rejoice in that joy. My joy is the joy of you all. And I thank you for that joy, Lord. And I thank you for the love. I thank you for the words today. And that we continue to go through even this new year with Jesus Christ at the center of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So. Oh, yeah.